Jack Gordon and Brother Brian Delaney went to visit Larry and Wendy yesterday and got to lead two of their children to Jesus Christ. So, isn't that neat? And so that was good news. And then also, Brother J.R. Wedham told me this morning they had two saved at the prison. Last night? Was it last night? So isn't that exciting? What a blessing that is. Praise the Lord. All right. Good, 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 good. Okay, let me have you go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We kicked off, had two lessons on the fruit of the Spirit, and then we had 2 weeks where Brother Reiser taught two Sundays ago, and then we had Brother Bissett take the Sunday school hour last week. So we want to get back where we picked up in this matter of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go back, do a quick review for just a few minutes, and then we'll get into the first of the fruits of the Spirit. We were in the middle of a study on love. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Heavenly Father, please meet with us now as we teach the Bible. And thank you for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, he hasn't come into our lives to promote himself, but to lift Christ up. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would allow him to produce the fruit in our lives that would make us more effective in reaching souls for Jesus Christ, make us better Christians, make us more Christ-like in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All righty, let me just go through real quickly and review a little bit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, we're introduced to the fruits of the Spirit. Now remember, these are fruits of the Spirit, capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. They're produced by the Holy Spirit which indwells each of us. These are not fruits of our small s Spirit. It's fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's not fruits of positive thinking or self-will or willpower. We can't just decide we're going to turn over a new leaf and be better in these areas and be able to produce these things. We can only hope to have these things produced through us as we yield ourselves to the indwelling, the filling, and the control of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And so I wanted to start there and remind you of that because, folks, all of the things that we study can only be achieved in our lives, and these characteristics can only be achieved in our lives as we yield to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, listen, part of God, a real person, a member of the Trinity, the triune God, lives inside of you. Hey, you ought to say hi to him every once in a while. You just might want to introduce yourself this week to him. Hey, you know, I've been carrying you around in me for all these years. I just thought I'd finally say something to you, Holy Spirit. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying to the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with communicating with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make you a Pentecostal or isn't it not going to lead you down some false road of doctrine. You know, he's a person. He's a part of God. He's a member of the triune God. He's not a liquid. He's not a gas. He's not a thing. He's a person. And he indwells in me, and he indwells you if you're saved, and you ought to communicate with him. It's not a wrong thing to all through the day to be able to ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you read your Bible, ask him to tutor you and teach you. Dear Holy Spirit, I'm about to read the Bible, and you know this book intimately. Now, you live inside of me. It sure would help me if you would teach me as I read. You know, boy, we'd be smarter. We'd get more out of our Bible if we'd do that. You know, he does all kinds of things in our life. The Bible talks about him being our prayer partner and he helps us to intercede. He helps us to pray sometimes when we don't know what to pray. And, you know, before you pray to the Father, before you go to the throne of grace, you might want to say, Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to go pray to the Father now. And I pray that you would guide me and lead me. Sometimes I don't know how to pray or even what to pray. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, if I ask the wrong thing, would you interpret it right to the Father? And would you show me what I should pray for and what I shouldn't pray for? You know, hey, he's there. He's there. Imagine having a member of your house, member of your home, somebody that lives inside of your home, and you never speak to them. Never communicate with them. Act like they don't exist. And so we have the Holy Spirit of God, and He wants us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to be there for us. And He wants to produce in our lives these wonderful fruits of the Spirit. Now, let's go quickly to Romans 5:5, and I just want to go. Maybe I'll just go to this one verse, and then we'll get right into our study then. But the first of the fruits of the Spirit that we're going to concentrate on, spend a couple weeks on, is this matter of love. Love. Romans 5:5. We'll read this one verse here. Romans 5:5. Notice this. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, the reason I read this is all through the Bible, you'll find these characteristic traits are not just listed in Galatians chapter 5. They are reinforced all through the Bible. It is the Holy Spirit's job. This is what He will do if we'll let Him. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by" who? "The Holy Ghost, which is given to us." Now, Jerry Ross can't love like Jerry Ross ought to love. I don't have it in me. I can't produce that in and of myself. I can't love my family like I ought to love them. I can't love lost souls like I ought to love them. I can't love the brethren like I ought to love them. I just can't do that in myself. But the Holy Spirit can shed abroad the love, that agape love of God in my heart, that allows me to love at a level that I would be incapable of without His help. And so He's there for that purpose. Now, let me review real quickly. We covered the first 4 points of 10 points that I'd like to give you on this matter of love. Now, I'm just going to read them, and we won't go into all the verses then. But let me just review the first four, because I want to get right into the fourth one. We introduced it, and then I want to go a little deeper into it. Brother Jerry, how important is this matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, what if I just ignore Him? What if I just, you know, continue on? I mean, he has secured me, right? I mean, He has sealed me into the day of redemption. Yes, he's going to do what He's supposed to do. He'll be there till the end. But you know what? Here's what you do. You rob yourself of so many things that you could be to others by not letting the Holy Spirit produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life towards other people. Now, let me just help you. If you're a young Christian or an old Christian, what I'm going to say right now can help you immensely. You cannot control what any other Christian does or how any other Christian acts, and you might as well quit trying. You know, you can't control that. Well, it's just, I'll tell you what, if I could just get, well, you know what, you don't have that power. But you do have the power to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control you, and you do have the power to become what you, all that you can become for God. And so, listen, that's what your focus ought to be. You know, I pray for the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love you. I work hard to prepare messages. I want to shepherd you. I want to be there for you. I want to comfort you. But you know what? The honest truth is, how far you go with God and for God is really going to be up to you. It really is. And I hope that to encourage you, I hope to exhort you and all of these things. But really, you have to decide how much you're going to let God have control of your life and how much of these things are going to come forth in your life. And so let me challenge you to do that. Be all you can be for the Lord. Be all you can be. Be all that God wants you to be for Him. Don't hold back in this area of letting the Holy Spirit do His work in your life. So, this matter of love. Brother Jerry, maybe you can just be honest with me. Brother Jerry, I have a little bit of trouble loving people. I just do. You know what? It's a little hard for me. I kind of build walls. I kind of hold back. Maybe in the past you've been hurt some. And you say, you know what? It's just easier not to than to. But you know what? The world needs to see the love of God through each and every one of us. Part of loving is hurting. Are you listening? Part of loving is hurting. And, you know, well, I'll let me tell you something. I'll love people, but if they hurt me, then I'm going to stop. Well, then you might as well stop now, because people are going to hurt you. But you know what? We hurt Christ. I mean, we hurt Him all the time. Did He hold back His love from us? Does He hold back His love from us? No, He doesn't, you see. Now, let me give you the points. Number one, love finds itself defined in one word, and that is God. Let me review what we've covered so far. Love finds itself defined in one word, and that is God. 1 John 4:8 And 1 John 4:16 tells us God is love. Boy, that's important. God is love. Now, listen, you can't love like you ought to without God. The more you let God control your life, the more you're going to have the ability to love. And, I'll love people if they love me. Well, you know, that's not God love. That's selfish love. I can produce that by myself, folks. I can produce that one. You know, no, Jesus loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, Jesus loved us when we were unlovely. Jesus loved us when we treated him wrong. Jesus loved us when we blasphemed him. Jesus loved us when we wouldn't give him the time of day. He still loved us. And so love finds itself defined in one word, and that is God. And if I'm going to know how to love, then I got to know God, because God is love. Number two, God's word teaches us that love is the greatest of all of the divine attributes. It's listed first in the fruits of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us that it gives faith, hope, and love, and the greatest charity, and the greatest of these is charity. 1 Peter 4:8, Colossians 3:12, we won't go back to all of them. Number three, nothing should be done that cannot be done in the power of divine love. It says all things should be done in charity or with charity. All things should be done with love. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll change some things. Number four, this is where we got to. Without a Holy Spirit-produced divine love, we're unable to obey the two greatest commandments in the Bible. Now, let me take you back to Matthew chapter 22, because we're going to take off there, and I want to develop this a little bit. Maybe we all ought to do this. Matthew chapter 22. And let me have you read with me. We'll start in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 34. Now get this. The Holy Spirit produces love. We need that love in our lives, because without that love, we will be unable to obey the two greatest commandments that God has given us in the Bible. Verse 34 of chapter 22, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love, L-O-V-E, agape, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, we're going to get to that in a second. Now, watch this. Several things. First of all, listen. If I don't let the Holy Spirit produce love in my life like he wants to, I cannot obey this. I cannot obey these two commandments. Now, if I grieve the Holy Spirit of God or quench the Holy Spirit of God, and he doesn't have the ability to produce fruit in my life because I've kept him down. I'm so full of sin or so full of myself that I've got the Holy Spirit pushed down in some corner where he can't produce the fruits that he wants to, then it's impossible for me to obey the two greatest commandments of the Bible. I can't love God, and I can't love my neighbors myself. Why? Because sin and self is in the way. And so if I'm going to be able to obey these, then I have got to get the sin out of my life. I've got to get self out of my life. I've got to empty. Remember, we taught you that one. I've got to take it out and empty it out and let the Holy Spirit of God begin to fill me so that I can love properly, so that I can offer to God the love that he is deserving of, and that I can then have the ability to love my neighbor as myself. And I'm not sure that we shouldn't take a card somewhere, a piece of paper, and write down the two greatest commandments in the Bible and post them somewhere for the next few weeks where we could see them every day and be reminded that there are these are the two greatest commandments. Jesus was asked the question, what is the great? These are the two greatest commandments. Now, this means it's fair to ask this. Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Do you? It's a fair question. Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Do you? Or has something else stolen that love? We get down to the end of this study here. I'm going to give you five things. I don't think we'll get to them today. We might give you five things that the devil's going to try to get you to love so that you are not loving what you ought to love. But hey, that's a fair question. I mean, what's Jesus Christ? Ask what's the greatest of all the commandments? Here's the greatest. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The consuming love of your life ought to be God. The consuming love of you. Listen, you fall out of love with God, you're gonna be in trouble as a Christian. You fall out of love with God, you're gonna backslide. What did Jesus do when he tracked down Peter finally? When he'd gotten all backslidden, what did Jesus do? He brought him to the shore and he asked him, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" You know why? Because the reason he was backslidden is something. He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" The first time. That was the first time he asked. "Lovest thou me more than these?" What do you mean more than those? There's some these that if you start loving more than God, you're going to be backslidden. You're going to be fishing instead of soul winning. You're going to be fishing instead of preaching. You're going to be doing what the world wants you to do instead of what God's called you to do. And I think, boy, this is an important lesson. Folks, every single person that gets off track, every single person is doing less than they ought to for the Lord Jesus Christ today. It really does foundationally boil down to a love question. A love question. Well, I just can't love God. I don't understand why I don't love God more. I don't understand why I don't. I'm telling you why. Because it's the Holy Spirit that has to produce that. And we get full of sin or we get full of self. We don't want to confess our sin. We don't want to die to self. We want to hang on to what we want to hang on and do what we want to do. And we want number one to be number one. And guess what? We can't love in that condition. You know why? Because we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. He can't do what he's there to do. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it? That's convicting to me. Why don't I love God more? What's wrong with me? Well, I try and I try. That's a problem. Well, you can't try and produce love. You got to confess to produce love. You got to empty to produce love. You got to get right to produce love. And so there's the problem. Now I want to, if you will, for a second, let's focus in on that second commandment, verse 29. The second is likened to it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, what a challenge! To love thy neighbor as thyself. I think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. God, nowhere in the Bible does God command us to love ourselves. Now, if you go to see a worldly psychiatrist, that's what he'll tell you. You know, before you can love anyone else, you've got to learn to love you. Now, I've never met that too many people that had that problem. If you want to go to the truth of the matter, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be... Yeah, that's not the problem in today's society, trust me. And that's nothing to set as a goal. In fact, God puts it as a characteristic of the last days. One of the sins of the last days is we're going to be way too much in love with ourselves. Lovers of their own selves, you see. And so here's the challenge, is to love somebody equally or as much as you love yourself. Now, boy, that's big. Verse number 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, let me have you take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter number 5. I want to develop this a little bit if I can. Galatians chapter number 5. Then I'm going to give you the fifth truth here. Galatians chapter number 5. Why is it important that we learn to love properly and then that we keep that love once it is developed directed towards the things that would please God? Well, let me just show you this. Galatians chapter number 5. And verse number 13, Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 13. Boy, I love Galatians. I've been reading it a lot lately. It's been a blessing to me. Galatians 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, boy, that's important. If you're going to spend your life serving other people, it's going to be motivated by agape, Holy Spirit, divine-produced love, or you won't. You won't do it for very long. You won't do it for very long. People who spend their lives serving others has to die to self. And they have to stay right with God, because if not, they'll get a bunch of sin and junk in their life, and next thing you know, they'll quit doing it. But if you're going to serve one another, then you have to do it by love. And that love has to be produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice verse 14. For all the law, boy, this is amazing to me. I think this is one of the most transforming truths of all the Bible. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember that? Second great commandment? God says, listen, You know, Jewish people and even some of the Gentiles. Boy, how much of this law still applies to us? You know, we don't want to be legalists, but at the same time, there's the moral law. And so where do we draw the line? What do we do? And God said, here, let me tell you. Let me help you. Instead of going back through and trying to figure out all through the Old Testament law, what you're supposed to do, what you're not, what's right, what's wrong, all this stuff. He said, here, let me just get you. You can fulfill everything that's in the Old Testament law if you'll just fulfill one word, one commandment. And that's this: love other people as much as you love yourself. Now you go through the Ten Commandments, and you especially go through that last five of them that deals with your dealings with each other. And there's not one of those commandments that you will break if you truly have a God love for your fellow man. Did you hear that? You're not going to break them. And all of the other commandments that are filled up with the law, all of those little, you know, all those little detailed things in our interacting with each other, if you just love people and you're motivated by love, you're not going to break one of those commandments, because you would not do something that would bring hurt or grief to anybody if you truly loved them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Wow. I don't know about you, but it's a lot easier for me to remember and do one than it is 100 or 200 or 500. I mean, I can read that one verse and it saves me a lot of study time back in Deuteronomy. Amen. Amen. Yeah, this is good. This is good. You want somebody talking about you? Want somebody running you down or running your family down? If you love people, you won't do that. You're just not going to do it. If you love people, you're not. If you don't love people, then you will. You see, it's just easy for me to just get one thing down. So I'm going to get this one thing down here. Okay, but notice this. It says, thou shalt say, Brother Jerry, why did you mention that? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of the other. He said, here's the other side of the coin. If you don't learn this, you're going to spend your time. You know, I want to tell you something. Christians, I'm going to someone have to do some door-to-door visitation in our church, I guess. I don't have to sit down with somebody and say, hey, why don't you just love people? Why don't you decide you're going to care about people? Why don't you stop trying to hurt people? Okay? Why don't you get a bridle on that tongue? Stop biting and devouring everybody. I don't understand this kind of life where everybody, you spend your whole life running around, carrying this, carrying that, saying this, saying that. Good night. You don't have anything better to do? There's nothing else that's more important? That how do you find time? Man, I'm too tired to do anything. I don't want to talk. I want to sleep. You know, are you getting this? It's just a matter of what you choose to do. You know, we got a lot of young Christians here in this church. You know what they need? Encouragement. They need lifted up. They need good examples. They need a blessing. They don't need people biting and devouring each other. Amen, Brother Jerry. Yeah, that's right. You're going to discourage them. They're going to get off track. I mean, live the Christian life out. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. Be the right thing. Well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. There's somebody that lives inside of you. Say hello to him. Say, hello, Holy Spirit. Boy, nice to meet you. If you're saved, he's there. If you're not saved, you need to get saved so that he'll be there and he can help produce these things in your life. Amen. One of the two things needs to happen. You know, folks, we either need to get right with the Holy Spirit of God or we need to get the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and so help each other out. Man alive, help each other out. Okay? Let me take you to James chapter 2. And Brother Jerry, are you sure about that? It said, all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It says all the law. All the laws fulfilled in one word. But let's just go to a few more verses. James chapter 2. I love this because it calls it the royal law. I love this. What a tremendous verse. James 2, 8. Notice this. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou shalt, thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Now, I'm not going to go through and teach all this, but look at verse number 8 just for a second, and then we're going to go to Romans. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now, I don't know. God has neat ways of labeling certain things. He said the greatest commandment of these is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said the second greatest is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he goes on to say, if you do that, you can fulfill all the law in one word, in one act. By obeying one commandment, you can fulfill all the law. Then he comes over to James chapter 2 and says, let me give you a royal law. Now go to Romans chapter 13. And verse number 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Does that sound familiar? He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, so that we make sure that we understand this, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember I talked about the 5 that's directed towards how we treat other people. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let me tell you something. You're not going to cheat on your wife if you love her. You're not going to cheat on your wife if you love the husband of that other wife. You're not going to cheat on your wife if you love that person that you're tempted with. You're not going to do it because if you love that person as yourself, you wouldn't want to be cheated on. So what prevents that from happening? Love. Who produces that? The Holy Spirit. Can that be produced by myself? No. If I'm a Christian, how do I get it produced? Empty myself of self and sin and let him produce that fruit in my life. If you're not saved, you can't do it. Stop trying to live the Christian life without being a Christian. You got to get saved. If you're not saved, this isn't going to happen. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Well, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's see, do I want to be murdered today? Nah. Okay, I love myself. I'd rather not see myself murdered today. Well, then I'm not going to murder someone else if I love them like I love myself. Can I do that? Now, Jerry Ross can't, because sometimes I just want to kill, I just want to pop somebody's head off sometimes. Somebody cuts me off on the road, I'm going to, reach under my seat and get my... Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell you I carry that. Never mind. I get into flesh all the time. I mean, sometimes I walk around and I just, I'm not a very nice person sometimes. Jerry Ross by himself is a lousy, lousy Christian. he had to grow up with that lousy Christian. He knows how much of a lousy Christian I can be. And Jerry Ross, even indwelt by the Holy Spirit, is not real good sometimes. But let me tell you, I'm a lot better when self is emptied out and sin is emptied out and I'm surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? I can do some remarkable things then. I can do some things that just amaze me. You know why? Because it's not me. You got to decide how you're going to live. You say, thou shalt not bear false witness. I'm not going to lie about somebody in the church. I'm not going to tell a lie about somebody. I'm not going to smear somebody. I'm not going to spread some story about somebody. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I wouldn't want them doing it to me. I don't like it. I love them and try to love them like as much as I love myself. And I love Jerry Ross pretty well. I mean, I'm having trouble with that. I have problems because of it sometimes. But that's not the thing that I have to work on. Are you getting this? It's just a matter of love. Do you love people as much as do you? Remember, that's the second commandment. First, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. When you get the love of God right, you can start getting the love of people right. You can't get any of that right if you don't empty yourself of self and sin and let the Holy Spirit. And Brother Jerry, you're getting to sound like a broken record. This is it, folks. I'm putting my finger or God is, putting his finger right on the main problem in Christianity today. As we've got our love directed all the wrong places, we have quenched the Holy Spirit and his dealings in our life. We have grieved the Holy Spirit to the point where he's tired of rebuking us because we're not going to listen anyway. We are hard-hearted and stiff-necked and going to do our own thing. And let me tell you something, the work of God is never carried forth and done correctly when we're in that condition. We have got to get back to a brokenness before God. We've got to get back to a point where, you know what, doing the work of God and reaching people for Christ and helping somebody is much more important in our life than seeing how many people we can maim, cripple, or hurt. Amen. This is good. Amen. This is good. You see, it's the greatest of all the commandments, you see. Thou shalt not covet. Well, I'm going to preach a whole series or a whole message one of these days. Brother Joe, that's an incredible study. That is the sin we probably laugh off the most, but it is foundational to more tragedies than probably any other of the Ten Commandments. I really mean that. I just think it is, I don't think we understand how damaging it is to covet. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And to learn to be content, stop wanting what somebody else has. Stop wanting what somebody, and you know what? It's all tied up in this matter of love. If you learn this matter of love, and now look at verse number 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, oh, by the way, let me go back and read the end of verse number 9. He lists these five commandments that deals with our treatment of other people. And if there be any other commandment, well, that helps. So anything else written back there in the Old Testament law, New Testament, name it, from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation, there's any other commandment that concerns our dealing with each other, because that's what we're talking about here. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. And I wonder if we just discovered something here. I wonder if we just hit on something here. I wonder if we just mined some gold here. I wonder if we've just discovered something that could absolutely turn our Christian lives from producing nothing practically to producing from being productive. I mean, I just think there's something here. Verse number 10. Watch this. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And I love this because it gives us an explanation. See, how can all of the commandments be comprehended in one saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? This is why, because a God love will never work ill to your neighbor. It just won't do it. If you love that person, you will do nothing that would cause them pain or grief or ill or suffering or heartache. You're not going to do that. You see, and therefore, because of that, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, I hope that's a help to you, because it's important, folks, that we get in touch with this and begin to ask the Lord to produce these things in our life. Now, we talked about the greatest commandment, the second greatest commandment, the royal commandment. Now, let me have you now go to John chapter number 13, and let's just go deeper. All right, we doing okay? Everybody awake? We're here. You still like your preacher? You all right? Okay. You're supposed to love me now. Come on now. Come on now. You. All right. Don't get mad at me. Okay. You're supposed to love me. All right. So John chapter 13, verse number 34. Hey, Brother Jerry, that some of the stuff you're teaching, this is hard. I know. This is difficult. Yeah. That's why we can't try to do it in our own power. We won't succeed. John chapter 13 and verse number 34. Now, we've talked about the greatest commandment, second greatest commandment, the royal commandment. Now we're going to talk about the new commandment. Okay? Number 6, without the Holy Spirit, without a Holy Spirit-produced divine love, we are unable to obey the new commandment given by Jesus Christ to those who would be his disciples. John 13 verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now watch this. As I have loved you, that ye love one another. Now, I think he knows us. Because if he had just stopped at the first statement, you know, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, we'd say, oh yeah, I love everybody, sure. No, I love everybody, sure. I love them, of course I love them. So Jesus says this, as I have loved you, that you love one another. Oh well, that's different, Lord. I don't know if I've reached that yet. Now verse 35, watch this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, I know all of the things that we say and all the things we try to justify in our mind, but you cannot erase this from Scripture. Amen. You cannot erase this from Scripture. God says, hey, dingbats, Jesus said to his disciples that bickered and argued amongst themselves many times while he was with them. And he's getting ready to leave them. He's saying, hey, listen, I want to give you a new commandment. Get this. You're to love each other. Just how I loved you, haven't I? Yes, sir, you have. Jesus, that's how I want you to love each other. Now, the lost people that are unsaved, the reason they're going to know that you are saved, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You know what the overwhelming evidence of that's going to be? Your love for each other. All right, let me give you an illustration. Wow. I don't know if I'll ever get over this one. Okay, knocking on doors in Brazil, Indiana, trying to get people to come to a new church. And I talked to this guy, and he said, I'm not coming to church. I'm not coming to your church. I wouldn't come to any church. I said, why? He said, I was raised in church. Now, I know that there's excuses. We're going to preach this morning a little bit on excuses. I know people that aren't saved always got their excuses. But listen to what he said. He said, I was raised in church. I spent some of my teenage years at church. He said, you know what I do? I don't go to church on Saturday. What I do is I go down to the tavern I don't go to church on Sunday. I go to the tavern on Saturday now. I don't go to church on Sunday. He said, I go to the same little neighborhood tavern. I know everybody in there. And he said, let me tell you something. We've had less fights in the last year at that tavern amongst the people that gather there on Saturday night than the church I was raised in can say that they had on Sunday. Now, let me tell you something. That man's lost. By the end of the conversation, I was pretty sure this man was lost. He'd never been saved. But you know what? He'll probably stay lost and die lost. You know why? Because he was looking for evidence that there was something real, that they really were the disciples of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Couldn't find that evidence. Now, folks, listen to me. Brother Jerry, you don't live in this Pollyannish little world where you think, no, there's never going to be a problem, never going to be a conflict. No, I don't. But I know that there's Bible ways of fixing things. And I know this, most things can be fixed in a very short amount of time if people will just decide to love each other and to treat them as you would want to be treated. You know, the golden rule is still golden. The golden rule is still golden. Okay? And so if you'll love people like you love yourself, treat people like you'd want to be treated, and let that be honestly what controls your conduct and your conversation in each and every day, it's going to cause you to keep you from breaking a lot of the other laws in the Bible. Just that one little attitude of life, the one way you approach life. Okay, now, don't sit there and get upset at somebody that doesn't listen to what I'm saying this morning. You worry about you. You can only control you. You do right. You do right. And if you'll do that, then don't worry about it. Listen, you're not going to stand before God and answer somebody else. You're going to stand before God and answer for you. I'm not going to stand before God and answer for somebody else. I'm going to have to answer for Jerry Ross. So the only real control I have is this guy right here. And so let's exercise that, okay? Now, there's a new commandment. And he said that you're to love one another. When the love of God, produced by the Holy Spirit, floods our heart, it will cause us to love the brethren. It will cause us to love the brother. Now, are you ready? Let's go to chapter 15, verse number 12. We've got 6 minutes left. We're going to spend most of that time reading the Bible. Okay? Chapter 15, verse number 12. Chapter 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's that stipulation. We mimic the love of Christ. We don't we don't allow ourselves to be satisfied with anything less than the same level of love that Christ has shown us. That's what we show each other. Greater love hath no man than this, Then a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And by the way, I know when people teach John chapter number 15, and I'm right with them, and I believe it's an accuracy, that fruit producing is soul winning and winning other people to Jesus Christ. But does that word fruit ring any other bell with you? It's not just going out. Listen, you can go out and try to reproduce and try to win other people to Jesus Christ, but you're going to do it a lot more effectively if you also are allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit he wants to in your life, you see, and that your fruit should remain. And we always talk that about people that get saved and don't stick. No, I think God's more talking about their love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Listen, it shouldn't just pop up and go away, pop up and go away. It ought to be produced and it ought to remain in our life. It ought to be a constant in our life. Why? Because we should seek the fullness of the Spirit. We should live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you see. And it's kind of neat. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, ye may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now that's two parts of the Bible you're going to have to get rid of if you don't want to live this way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Get your pen out, because I got other things you're going to have to cross out here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. This is a verse written to a local New Testament church. This is an epistle to one of the local churches. And the Lord, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. To the end. What? To the end. What's that going to produce? That's going to produce. Listen, if you obey and let God do in verse 12 what he wants to, verse 13 will take care of itself. Chapter number 4 and verse number 9. Watch this. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, I shouldn't have to write a long letter about love. I shouldn't have to try to explain this. I shouldn't have to convince you of this. You know why? Because God, if you'll listen to him, he's trying to teach you that it's in your heart. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell you the right thing to do is to love one another. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. This is good. I like just flipping through the Bible, reading verses. I do a lot of this. A lot of study time, just chasing verses around. Hebrews 13, verse number 1, says this, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We just keep going backwards towards the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Okay, chapter 2, verse number 17, same book, chapter 2, verse number 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Hey, we're brothers. We're brothers. We have a brotherhood of the believer. We're brothers. Okay, you love your brother. I know you don't have to like everything they do, but that, you know, sometimes we use that little statement right there as an excuse to not like them. You love the brother. Okay, I don't agree with everything everybody does either, but I love them. When I look at them, I don't have hatred or animosity in my heart to them. I don't get a growl on my face when a certain person walks into this church. I can look at everybody that walks through that door with a pure heart and love them and know they're all at different places. They all have different struggles. They're all progressing. They're, you know, that some of them, hey, but you know what? I love them. Okay? Chapter 3, verse number 8. Chapter 3, verse number 8 of the same book. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And I'm... I think that be pitiful, we're pretty good at that. That's another study. I won't go into that, all right? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 11. 1 John 3, verse number 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, listen to me. You know what this is actually teaching? This is a test. Brother Jerry, sometimes I wonder if I'm saved. Sometimes I fight with the assurance of my... This is a test, a proof of salvation. Yeah, I'll tell you, I worry about the eternal destiny of a person who claims to be a Christian but always is harboring hatred in their heart towards other brothers. I'm wondering, have they been deceived? Do they just think that they're saved and they're not? I mean, is that your MO? Is that your record? Is that the description of your life? Have you just gone from one to another to another to another, and you're always mad and angry and hateful and have hatred in your heart towards this person, this person, this person? Listen, that is not what happens in the life of a person that's born again. That does not happen. Okay? We all have our struggles. But just to live there and never know anything different, it's worrisome, you see. They're all out in the foyer, but we're going to keep reading, okay? All right. Verse 16 through 18, we got to hurry. 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. Wow. Did you get that? Y'all love each other enough to die for each other. Yeah. Is that what it said? But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just say it, act it out. It's going to prove out by the way you treat people, what you do for people, your open-heartedness, you're willing to help somebody. Okay? Verse number 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he had gave us commandment. Chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 11, chapter 4, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 20 and 21, I got to be done. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is a commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this. Bless the reading of your scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen.